Hello, my name is Bill Coughlin, and welcome to First Person Civil War Podcast, which retells the stories of the soldiers and officers on the ground in the battles of the Civil War. Episode 15 is entitled First Lieutenant William Hewitt and the 12th West Virginia at the Third Battle of Petersburg, and relies on his book, History of the 12th West Virginia Volunteer Infantry, the part it took in the War of the Rebellion, 1861 to 1865, which William Hewitt published in 1892. At the beginning of the Civil War, William Hewitt lived in the Grant District of Hancock County, Virginia, which is today West Virginia, and is the northernmost tip of the state. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, if you look at a map, is approximately 45 miles and generally east of this district. The 12th West Virginia mustered into service in the town of Wheeling on 30 August 1862. The men of the regiment came from Marshall, Ohio, Harrison, Marion, Taylor, Hancock, and Brook counties. All seven counties are situated in the northernmost region of the state. William Hewitt mustered into the Union Army as a sergeant and summed up the soldiers of the regiment, which illustrated just how torn apart the western part of Virginia was at the time. The 12th was made up of exceptionally good material. The men were mainly American-born and native Virginians. He talks about them being farmers or mountaineers, and then continues. They enlisted under trying and embarrassing circumstances, and in great measure from patriotic impulses, their surroundings and circumstances in many cases tending to lead them to join their fortunes with the rebel cause. It was a common thing for a West Virginia Union soldier to have friends and relatives in the rebel army, and in some cases, for brother to fight against brother. Keep in mind that the state of West Virginia was not admitted into the Union until 30 June 1863. So William Hewitt's remark here about trying and embarrassing circumstances and their surroundings highlights how the war actually tore families apart in this part of Virginia. And just for an example, a son decided to enlist in the 12th West Virginia and informed his parents, and were shocked as they expected him to enlist in a Confederate regiment. The 12th West Virginia saw service in the Shenandoah Valley and fought in battles such as the Second Battle of Winchester and the Battle of New Market before it was transferred to the Army of the James on 19 December 1864. By 1 April 1865, the 12th West Virginia occupied a position in the Petersburg trenches around Hatcher's Run, in Colonel William B. Curtis's 2nd Brigade of Major General John W. Turner's Independent Division of the 24th Corps, commanded by Major General John Gibbon. The Confederate Army around Petersburg by this time had already suffered the defeat at Fort Stedman and at Five Forks, and the pressure of the Union armies continued to increase. That night, Lieutenant Hewitt and the 12th West Virginia prepared for the impending assault the next morning. As the rebels lay behind their entrenchments that night, it may be that they regarded this thundering and lightning of Uncle Sam's siege guns as betokening his vengeful wrath and their impending doom. And he continues, the 12th took a position and lay close up to the enemy's lines that night, fully expecting to have to attack his entrenchments in the morning, but fortunately did not have to do this. On 2 April 1865, the Army of the Potomac's 6th Corps, which was on the immediate right of the 12th West Virginia, assaulted and smashed through the Confederate defenses around Hatcher's Run. First Lieutenant Hewitt and the 12th West Virginia marched toward the newly carried Confederate works. The Sixth Corps having broken the lines in its front, the rebels soon thereafter evacuated their works in our front. Our brigade then moved to the right toward Petersburg, arriving near the city a little after noon. By this time, all the enemy's works southwest of the city had fallen into our hands, except three forts near it, and several thousand prisoners besides. One of these fortifications was Fort Gregg, which was a stronghold east of the breakthrough, and was ordered to be carried. First Lieutenant Hewitt and the 12th West Virginia arranged for their assault as the first attempt to take the fort failed. Our brigade was marched up and halted in line on high ground, facing toward Fort Gregg to the north. All was quiet as yet, there being no firing. When we reached this ground, we could see some of our troops, a part of the 1st Division of our corps, a little to the right of a direct line from us to the fort, and pretty close up to it. They were in a wavering condition, having failed to enter the fort. Despite a deteriorating defensive position, the Confederates holding Fort Gregg would not relinquish it without a fight. First Lieutenant Hewitt and the 12th West Virginia soon received orders to advance. A little later, an aide rode up to Colonel Curtis, evidently giving an order. The colonel looked a little pale, but unflinching, and almost before we had time to think, and without any announcement of what we had to do, the order of, "Attention, 2nd Brigade! Shoulder arms! Right shoulder shift arms! Forward! Double quick! March!" was given. The boys seemed to know, by a common understanding, what was wanted, and giving a yell, a sort of rebel yell, they started on the charge, running like mad their very best, seeming to realize that the sooner they got to the fort, the fewer of them would get killed. The aide that First Lieutenant Hewitt saw speaking with Colonel Curtis was most likely from Major General Turner's staff. The 1st and 2nd Brigades of the Independent Division were assigned to support their sister division of the 24th Corps in the assault, and 1st Lieutenant Hewitt, the 12th West Virginia, and the rest of their brigade were now on the left flank of this advance. The distance to be charged was perhaps 500 yards down a slope and up a slope. In the hollow or foot of the slopes, something less than halfway to the fort, there was some low swamp brush. When this was reached, the enemy opened on our men, apparently with grape or canister. The balls could be heard striking in the mud and passing through the brush. And he continues, "The men rushed rapidly on their ranks, necessarily much broken by their passing through the low swamp brush, their different capabilities as runners, and they're all rushing toward the one point, the fort." First Lieutenant Hewitt credits that the light casualties of the advance was due to their speed, and more importantly, the 1st Division's renewed advance. Once the regiment was at the base of the fort, however, the Confederate fire began to concentrate on them. 1st Lieutenant Hewitt and the 12th West Virginia continued to advance into Fort Gregg. When the order to charge was given, Private J.W. Caldwell of Company D took off his hat and, swinging it over his head, shouted, "That's our fort! That's our fort!" But the gallant boy, falling dead upon the field, failed to witness its capture. At this point, 1st Lieutenant Hewitt pauses the narrative to discuss an order the brigade received to withdraw from Fort Gregg. But there seems to be debate, even in 1892, whether the men of the brigade heard this order and ignored it, or even heard it at all. Regardless, 1st Lieutenant Hewitt and the regiment continued to advance. When within 50 yards of the fort, Sergeant Adams of Company D fell wounded. The colors were picked up and bravely carried forward by Private Logsdon, and continues. At length, as a movement toward entering the fort, the gallant Logsdon undertook to plant the flag of the 12th upon the parapet and was killed, falling back into the ditch. The colors were then seized by Lieutenant Caldwell of Company A, who leapt upon the parapet and, in attempting to plant the colors there, was killed, falling also into the ditch. The flag fell inside of the fort. Then the brave boys of the 12th rushed to the parapet to recover their flag. Among the men of the regiment was 2nd Lieutenant Josiah M. Curtis, who personally recovered the regimental flag, alongside two other color bearers, Corporal Andrew O. Apple and Private Joseph McCausland. The 12th West Virginia had three colors during this assault, as their regimental commander was also the brigade commander, which warranted his own stand of colors. 1st Lieutenant Hewitt witnessed these men rush forward. They were joined by comrades of the rest of the brigade. Pouring a volley into the rebels, the boys of the 12th leapt into the fort and planted their flag on the parapet, the first colors on the rebel works. The fort and its brave defenders were soon ours, all the troops present joining in the capture. As the 12th West Virginia seized Fort Gregg, Private Charles A. Reeder personally captured a flag of one of the Confederate regiments within the fort. It is not known which regimental flag he captured, but according to Brigadier General James H. Lane, Fort Gregg's commander, "The honor of the gallant defense of Fort Gregg is due to my brigade, Chew's Battery, and Walker's supernumerary artillerists, armed as infantry, and not to Harris's brigade." And he continues, "The enemy, after crowding the parapet amid the wildest cheering and waving of numerous flags, fired down upon our men inside the works. My men were on the right and center, the supernumerary artillerists on the left, and Chew's Battery was in the center, so as to give the pieces the widest possible range of fire." By the end of the day, the siege of Petersburg was over. The assault cost the Union 715 killed and wounded, and 1st Lieutenant Hewitt lamented that this didn't need to happen, but it was still a pivotal moment for the 12th West Virginia. After events seem to show conclusively that this great sacrifice was unnecessary, for the fort would have been evacuated the following night without it. But it was here that the 12th won its eagle, meaning it captured a flag, and Colonel Curtis his star. Four men from the 12th West Virginia received medals of honor for their actions in the assault, the first three awarded on 12 May, 1865. 1st Lieutenant Josiah M. Curtis's citation reads, "Seized the colors of his regiment after two color bearers had fallen, bore them gallantly, and was among the first to gain a foothold with his flag inside the enemy's works." The citations of Corporal Andrew O. Apple and Private Joseph McCausland reads, "Conspicuous gallantry as color bearer in the assault on Fort Gregg." Private Charles A. Reeder received his Medal of Honor on 3 April, 1867. His citation reads, "Capture of flag. Because this involved someone wresting control of the flag from an enemy color bearer, a Medal of Honor for this effort was common in the Civil War." 1st Lieutenant William Hewitt returned to Hancock County, West Virginia, after the Civil War, and regularly attended the regimental reunions. In 1889 and 1890, the veterans of the 12th West Virginia desired a regimental history written by one of their own, and asked William Hewitt to write it. He initially believed that he was inappropriate for the task, but in 1890 he agreed to write History of the 12th West Virginia Volunteer Infantry, the part it took in the War of the Rebellion, 1861 to 1865, which he published in 1892. I almost upgraded this episode to a special episode, as I used Brigadier General James H. Lane's booklet, entitled Defense of Fort Gregg, Official Report, published in 1877, but I chose not to. While this booklet does contain his point of view of the assault, it just did not contain enough information, as I saw it, to include it in the episode. But I will give Brigadier General Lane a mention here. The purpose of the booklet was to correct what he and his subordinates saw as an incorrect report that a brigade of Mississippians held Fort Gregg on 2 April, 1865. Brigadier General Lane, along with the colonel and three lieutenants from the 33rd North Carolina, as well as one lieutenant from the 37th North Carolina, both regiments from Lane's brigade, wrote letters to corroborate that though there were some Mississippians in the fort, that amount paled in comparison to that of the North Carolinians. Though Brigadier General Nathan H. Harris's Mississippi Brigade was in the same area, most of those men were in Fort Whitworth, which was just to the north and itself under attack at the same time. This means the captured flag belonged to either the 18th, 28th, 33rd, or 37th North Carolina regiments. Thank you for listening to the 15th episode. The link to William Hewitt's book is now available on the podcast website, firstpersoncivilwarpodcast.com. On Instagram, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn this week, you will find a picture of William Hewitt in 1860, a drawing of the 24th Corps' assault on Fort Gregg, and all four Medal of Honor winners, First Lieutenant Curtis, Corporal Apple, Private McCausland, and Private Reeder. Please follow, like, and leave a review on your podcasting platform of choice. Corporal Preston L. Ledford of Company B, 14th North Carolina, provides next week's first-person account at the Battle of Cedar Creek. My name is Bill Coghlan, and thank you for listening to First Person Civil War Podcast.